welcome to the Dial Square podcast, Dialcast. It's great to be with you. I'm Chris Durkin, and I'm joined again by Adam Harvey. How are you doing, Adam?
I'm very well, thank you, Chris. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. We're very pleased with the feedback we got last week. It was a great podcast. It was great to hear from Simon, the manager, last week. Going into this podcast, excited. We've heard some great news as well this week, haven't we? A few new sign-ins. So two more sign-ins, the seventh and eighth sign-in. So Ed's left-footed player, can play anywhere really, according to Simon. Versatile player and also very good at set plays. So we're looking forward to seeing him this season. And also Andy, who hopefully will be solid at the back. So a few good additions to the team. Another great arrival is the kits. The kits have been arriving at people's homes this week. What do you think about the kits?
Yeah, I like the kits. Yeah, I've seen people tweeting about it, that they've received them in the post this week, and it seems like the feedback's been pretty positive on them.
It has indeed. So we've got the red home kit and the yellow away kit. I'll come to our special guest then now then. Andreas, welcome to the podcast. What's your views on the kit?
Chris and Adam, thanks for having me. Kits look great. Love the home kit. Love the yellow away kit as an homage to the Arsenal 1971 double winning team. And yeah, I've been seeing them on the Twitter timelines as well. Lots of people enjoying receiving them.
So let's introduce you, Andreas, in terms of who you are and your background. Do you want to just introduce, like, sort of whereabouts you grew up and who with?
Yep. So my name's Andreas, as you guys have already mentioned. Some of our listeners might already know that I'm chairman of DSFCE. I'm the one who's been sending around a couple of newsletters to our members, keeping them informed of the kind of things we're doing. I'm sure we'll get to chat about that shortly. But in terms of who I am, my background, like many of our members, I am an Arsenal fan for all my sins, season ticket holder as well. And yeah, part of the reason why I decided to become involved with Dial Square was because of the unfortunate Super League events a few months back, which, you know, angered the entire footballing community. And again, that's almost like a catalyst that got me to become involved more than a fan owner of the club.
And in terms of Super League, like, what? So that's, you also just sort of spoke about that. In the past, obviously, you supported Arsenal, quite a big club, money-minded. Was that, so before the Super League, were you positive about the ownership?
To be honest with you, there were certain issues that I'm sure a lot of Arsenal supporters would have recognised along the way. I mean, Arsenal was a traditional English football club. What I mean by that is, you know, fans had their place, they had their say. I know a lot of fans who owned shares in the club. And then when the current owner sort of came along, forcefully take over the club, you know, they sort of hoovered up all the shares owned by fans as well as sort of other directors and other people within the club structure. And that was the final sort of confirmation we needed that fans were no longer part of the club, or certainly having a say in the future of the club, how the club's run. And the European Super League was, you know, that was, for me, that was adding fuel to the fire, really.
How long have you supported Arsenal then, and what are your favourite memories during that period?
Well, I've supported them since I was very young in primary school. The funny thing is, the rest of my family, parents, my sister growing up, they're all Man United fans. I just decided to go down a different route. You know, Arsenal was relatively local to me. Although at the time, I was probably closer to another club in the local vicinity of Arsenal, which we shan't name. Thankfully, because I wanted to enjoy watching great football, I went down the red half of Seven Sisters Road. Growing up, went to Highbury many times, loved Highbury. Again, there's so much I can say in terms of the move to the Emirates and how that's changed the connection between the fans and the club. But regardless, you know, as I said earlier on, managed to get a season ticket and been following the club for many, many decades.
So many decades, but you must have some standout memories. You talked about the recent years, I guess. It's not been as good. But favourite memories as an Arsenal fan?
I think nothing will top Anfield 89. That's just something that comes around every so often, doesn't even come around so often. I mean, I remember a few months ago, again, looking on social media, a lot of fans were talking about how Aguero's, you know, the way Aguero scored that injury time winner to win Manchester City the Premier League, how that was seen as the most fairy tale ending to a season. I completely disagree. You know, having to go to your biggest rivals, one of the best teams in Europe at the time, go into their own backyard and have to beat them by a certain score and do it the way they did it. There's no topping that as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it was an incredible day because Aguero, I guess you had the last second, but to go against first for a second and you couldn't win 1-0, needed more goals. Where were you at the time?
Funny enough, again, one of those moments that all our sort of fans who were around at the time remember. I was in front of my TV in the family living room. I won't mention my age, but I was quite young at the time. But yeah, I've got some very clear memories of sitting there watching the game on the TV in the family living room.
With your Man United supporting family?
With the Man United supporting family. You know, at the time I could say with confidence, you know, look, this is what it's like winning a league. Obviously, a few years later, I had to pipe down because Man United were getting all the glory. Yeah, fantastic night.
You did also have the glory, obviously, Man United then took over, I guess, the 90s and all that. But then the Invincibles came. What a season for Arsenal. What was it like as an Arsenal fan that year?
Absolutely. I remember going to the game and it wasn't about, are we going to win today? You know, this is normally sort of the pre-match conversation in the stands. You know, are we going to win today? You know, I remember at the time all everyone was asking was, how much are we going to win by today? You know, admittedly, there were a couple of times throughout the season where Arsenal were lucky to avoid defeat. As with any sport, I suppose you need to have luck on your side as well. But yeah, some great times there. And again, what made it special was that it was at Highbury. You know, it was before the move to the Emirates, and that just sort of adds to the magic of the place and the memories.
Yeah, Highbury did get many memories. And what was your feelings, I guess, moving from Highbury into the new stadium at the Emirates? Were you happy for it, or just leaving Highbury behind, was that maybe kicking their teeth for the fans?
It was. See, again, during that period, you know, Arsenal were emerging, you know, as one of the most successful teams in the country. You know, and you see football changing, you know, with the amount of money involved, transfers, etc. I mean, I remember the club board at the time were sort of justifying the move by saying, you know, by moving to the Emirates Stadium would put us in a position to compete with the likes of Bayern Munich, Barcelona, Real for transfers, etc. You know, nobody foresaw that Roman Abramovich would come in and, you know, how you'd get these billionaire owners. I don't think anyone could foresee that. But yeah, it was sad to leave Highbury. As I mentioned, traditional football club, traditional stadium. The fact that it sort of dropped in the middle of a neighbourhood, you know, sort of houses built up around it. And then you sort of move to the Emirates, as impressive as it was to see, you know, this sort of brand spanking new stadium and sort of understanding the reasons behind why the move was required. You know, it was still quite sad leaving Highbury. And there's this debate going on right now as to whether, for want of a better phrase, whether it was worth it.
Yeah, whether it was worth it. And is that down to maybe the less memories at the Emirates in recent years? I guess Arsenal had the FA Cup victories in Wembley, but in Emirates, it hasn't been as the spark of Highbury, the atmosphere and all that jazz. Is that probably the factor that maybe stems moving to Emirates wasn't as good?
Yeah, I think quite a bit of it's, you know, let's be honest, I think quite a bit of it's psychological as well. You know, at Highbury, you're used to being in this really compact ground. You know, you're practically sort of reaching distance to touching the players as they're standing on the sidelines. Whereas, obviously, with the more modern stadia, they're more, you're sat a lot further away, and there's maybe a bit of detachment from what's going on the pitch because of the distance. I know that the club, you know, in the early years, you know, they tried to, I think the term they used was arsenalize the Emirates, you know, sort of putting up, you know, statues outside, bringing in the clock that used to be on the south stand of Highbury, but it's just not the same. I think any Arsenal fan listening would understand that no matter what you do with the Emirates, it's not the same as being at Highbury.
Yeah. And then you know that from experience as a season ticket holder. When was the first time you got a season ticket with Arsenal? And why have you still got one?
Question I ask myself every summer. I can't remember exactly when. I think it was towards the end of our time at Highbury. And again, you know, part of the, I suppose, excitement was, or I say partly excitement, partly worry in terms of where will you be sat in comparison with your view of the pitch when you move the step from one stadium to the other. But yeah, it's why do I still have a season ticket because, like yourself, Chris, like Adam, we support our clubs through thick and thin. Been mainly thin lately, but you support it nonetheless.
Unlike the price of season tickets at Arsenal and obviously the issues around the Super League, you've recently got involved with Dial Square. What attracted you to Dial Square and what role do you undertake there?
Absolutely. So Dial Square, I actually heard about the club a couple of years ago, and it was one of those where I sort of kept my ears to the ground with regards to, you know, what the club's about, how it's doing. Obviously, looking at the success of other clubs that have sort of been formed under similar circumstances. So I've always had an interest. I've always kept an eye out, see how Dial Square are doing. Obviously, that things have been put on hold because of the pandemic. But yeah, as I said, the morning after, it's quite a funny story actually, the morning after the European Super League news broke, you know, everyone was taking social media, you know, venting, you know, how angry they are, etc. And I did pretty much the same. And I think I put out a tweet saying, well, you know, looks like my Dial Square has got my support next season. Because, you know, at that point, you know, everyone's angry. Everyone's just like, I'm not, you know, we don't want to be watching a closed league, etc. And then, yeah, a few days later, I spoke with Stuart. I think, again, on the back of maybe one of the tweets sent out by the club. And cut a long story short, I've been asked to come on board and get involved as the chairman of the SFC, the enterprise branch of the club.
How many board members do you currently have? And is there an opportunity to get on board?
Right, so at the moment, and again, this is something that I have mentioned to our members, you know, through our newsletter. At the moment, we have four directors, including myself as chairman. But I'm looking to, or we are looking to expand to five or maybe six. So I have mentioned, as I said previously, in newsletters to our members, if anybody is interested in getting involved at board level, just drop me an email at chairman@dsfcenterprise.com. And again, you know, much like the process between myself and Stuart, sort of have a chat, see, you know, what your understanding of the club is, see what you can offer the club and take it from there, really. But yeah, but basically we are, you know, DSFC is essentially the voice of the fans. So I just encourage all fans, all members to get involved however they can.
What makes like Dial Square such an exciting thing to be a part of, whether that be on a board level or a member level? Well, what vision do you have for the club as someone who's sort of more higher up in the establishment as such?
I think one of the crucial things is listening to those who support the club. As I said, that was for me the catalyst for getting involved, following the events that made me feel, you know, very much sort of distance from Arsenal that I've supported for many decades. So I like the vision of the club in terms of, as I mentioned, you know, fans are encouraged to get involved however they can. You know, there are certain decisions where things are put to the vote, you know, where the supporters, the fan owner, you know, as fans, as owners, get a direct say. You know, there's always this sort of buzz, you know, sort of PR term, you know, with football clubs. We're a community football club. We listen to our fans. And I just feel with Dial Square's vision, it's sort of more explicit that way, where we don't just listen to our fans, we actually ask them to make decisions for the club. And, you know, the sort of looking at other clubs, other supporter or fan-owned clubs, you know, seeing how they've fared in recent decades, you know, in terms of how football's changed, which we discussed briefly earlier. It's, you know, the way I see it, the club's on a journey. It's on the first leg of its journey, and it's exciting to be a part of it. You know, the start and seeing where it will lead us.
So you've spoken about sort of being in the early days still. What's been the biggest challenge so far, and how do you sort of balance the role you've got with your day-to-day job and just life?
Right, okay. Very good question. Balance. I mean, my day job, I'm a program leader for a football business and media degree at the University Campus of Football Business, UCFB. So in terms of my day job, it fits in quite nicely with my role at the club. For anyone who's familiar with UCFB, you know, it's a, you know, we've got a very good network within the football and sports industries. These are certainly networks that I've sort of tried, you know, used in my short time as chairman of the DSFCE. And yeah, as I said, this, in terms of it being a balance, it's almost like one leads into the other, because as well as using my experience or you know, using my day job to enhance what we're doing at the football club, on the flip side of that, I'm using the football club to enhance what's happening in my day job in terms of, you know, offering work experience, offering sort of insights to our students who are studying to work within the football industries.
And in terms of sort of being on a board, how have you found the meeting so far and sort of your relationship with Stuart?
Meeting's been good, yeah. So I'm actually attending two different lots of board meetings. So one of them obviously is DSFC's board meetings, where, as I said, currently four of us on the board looking to expand, where we discuss what's happening within the enterprise. And as I said, what we are is the voice of the fans, of the members, the supporters. And primarily our function, our role is to ensure that we put the club in as strong a position as possible so they're able to compete on the pitch, you know, in the leagues, hopefully rise up the football pyramid quickly. So that's sort of one set of board meetings I've been attending. The other side of that is actually the club's board meeting. So again, that's the aspects of the football club that are chaired by Stuart. And it's sort of the discussions are more around the day-to-day running of the club. And it's fascinating to, you know, I remember attending the meeting, you know, we were sat there, you know, you guys interviewed Simon last week, the new manager. So it was great at the board meeting. You know, I met Simon. He spoke a bit about his plans for the season ahead, the players that he wanted to recruit. And you get a feeling of what the club wants to achieve. And then I suppose I'm the link between the club and the supporters, who then goes back to DSFCE, and we try and put a plan in place to help support what the club's trying to achieve on the pitch.
Brilliant. So at those meetings, you talked about what the club can achieve, and we're hearing about that. So let's hear it as fans. What is the feeling around the club? What can Dial Square achieve?
Right. Well, I think this season, and, you know, I'm sort of calling it now, I reckon this season we are going to win the league. I'm so convinced by the fact that, you know, Simon's sort of past record, you know, Simon's plans at Dial Square, player recruitment, you know, as well as the players that we already had, you know, the exciting new signings that he's brought in. I'm convinced it's going to be a successful season.
Successful season, is that top of the table?
Top of the table. Promotion. No sitting on the fence.
No sitting on the fence at all. We have got some really good signings. And have you managed to hear about them, I guess, a bit more from Simon on those board meetings?
Funnily enough, we did discuss them in detail at the board meetings. I think there was a lot going on in terms of, you know, in the background, in terms of Simon speaking to them and, I suppose, sort of selling the Dial Square project to them. You know, a lot of these guys, you know, I've been, much like all the other supporters of the club, I've been reading the articles that accompany the official announcements, you know, finding out about these guys. You know, some of these guys are, you know, they've got experience playing at sort of higher levels than where we're at, but obviously where we aspire to be very quickly. And the fact that, you know, these guys have bought into the project, you know, Simon's done a fantastic job of convincing them, showing them, look, this is what we want to achieve. You know, I mentioned earlier about being at the start of this fantastic journey. And yeah, as I said, I'm convinced a huge stride will be made in the coming season.
Who shines in this season? And then talk about the journey. So it's not just this season, it's beyond that. And we're thinking about obviously getting more fan owners in the club around, maybe you'll probably know the figures, around 120 at the moment or so. What is that future look like for people that are thinking, maybe should we join Dial Square as fan owners? Should we get behind this team? How do you see the future? Where do you see them in around 5 years' time, let's say?
Okay, well, look, it's a very good question. And again, it's a question that, you know, the board that I'm a part of, you know, the SFCE, it's a question that we ask on a daily basis, because we need to do what we have to, you know, in terms of our function within the club to ensure that this journey continues. And you mentioned, you know, the fan owners, crucial aspect of this football club. You know, as it's not just a slogan where we might tweet or email and say, you know, without fans, football is nothing. You know, really, without fans, Dial Square is nothing. And again, you know, we're aware that, you know, everyone knows the struggles that lower league football clubs have had to deal with the pandemic. You know, a lot of these clubs are sort of teetering on the brink of extinction. And again, you know, first and foremost, want to thank our existing members for supporting the club throughout this time. But obviously, again, one of our sort of objectives is to grow the fan base, get more fan owners on board. You know, the larger a club gets, or the higher up the football pyramid the club gets, the more support it needs. So, you know, we're always looking to grow our membership. And it's not just growing the membership, it's also keeping our existing members happy as well. You know, they really are valued. So we want to make sure that they're happy, you know, they're happy on the journey we're going. That's why, as I said, we support we represent their voice. And the fact that I'm on both boards, you know, I can then take the fans' voice, the fan opinion, and voice it directly within the football club and say, look, this is what fans think, this is what fans want. And as I said, it's hopefully, in terms of the club's philosophy, I think it's a unique one that I think would bring much success.
Yes, the future does look bright. And one of the things in the future is the plan about maybe going into a new stadium. Do you want to talk us through that?
Absolutely, yeah. So this was one of the sort of early discussions I had with Stuart, you know, when we were discussing the club's vision, when we were talking about me coming on board. Obviously there's the link there between Arsenal Football Club and Dial Square. One of the things that I like making clear to people when I speak to them about Dial Square and what it represents, it's not an either or deal. You know, it's not, stop supporting Arsenal and come support Dial Square, because I know a lot of fans or a lot of members of Dial Square, myself included, you know, they regularly go watch Arsenal. They have season tickets. They are Arsenal supporters. So, yeah, I don't want it to come across as we're trying to take Arsenal fans away to support Dial Square. It's not an either or deal. But yeah, obviously there's the link there. So coming back to your question, there's the link there with the Arsenal historically and the location. You know, as a lot of rival fans always remind us, Arsenal's roots are in South London, in Woolwich. And one of the club's objectives, as I said, when we go up the football pyramid over time, you know, the plan is to relocate the club back home in Woolwich.
So obviously dependent on when we win the league, but how many years roughly would that be?
Well, like again, we've also got to be realistic. You know, it's not a short-term plan. You know, we're not going to get there within the next few years. I mean, that's the thing about football, though. That's why we all enjoy the sport. You know, we all have a passion for it. You don't know where it will lead you. You know, you ask supporters of AFC Wimbledon when the club was formed and ask them, you know, what their dreams were of one day facing MK Dons. You know, some might say, oh, that will never happen. Some might say, oh, God, you know, 25 years minimum wage, you know, that's the beauty of football. You just do not know. But hopefully sooner rather than later, in terms of our own plans. And again, you know, it can only happen with support of our members.
Yes, and it can help with more support. And I believe you've got an exclusive limited edition offer to attract a few new members. Don't know if you talk us through that.
Well, thank you, Chris. Yes, I would. So this is something that I'm actually going to put out on social media tomorrow. Well, tomorrow being, what is it, Tuesday today, Wednesday. So essentially, we'd like to grow our membership. You know, we are a family-friendly club. So we've coming out with a limited time offer. So it's running throughout the pre-season, where we're asking if any existing members would like to introduce friends and family. There's a special offer where we like to give a bonus sundial points to both the person, you know, the member introducing the new member, and also the new member as a thank you, as a welcome for joining Dial Square. So the offer is, you know, we'd like to give a bonus 350 sundial points to both members. Again, as a thank you, as a way of recognising their engagement with Dial Square. In actual fact, an idea I had just before recording this with you guys, and again, just to show our appreciation for those members who listen to your podcast as well, I'd like to give a special offer of a bonus. So if anybody would like to take up this sort of friends and family introductory offer, if you can email us at the email address membership@dsfcenterprise.com and mention the special offer. Again, we sort of keep track. We, you know, we'll update your bonus points. But a further bonus for those listening to this podcast, if you want to email us to take up the offer, introduce a new member to us, and you mention Dialcast, both members will get an additional 50 Sundial points. So that'll be 400 Sundial points. And, you know, I'm sure our supporters are aware that they can spend the Sundial points on getting beer tokens for free beers on a match day, getting a discount for purchases at the club shop. So as I said, wanted to mention a special offer just for introducing new members to the club.
Thank you. That is a very good way to get more people listening to the podcast. So we're very pleased with that, Andreas. And do you want to just quickly talk about that point scheme? How do they get these free drinks and et cetera? How many points do they need? Yeah, just discuss that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the free beer tokens, as I mentioned, you know, free pints of beer on match day. I believe pint of beer equates to 350 Sundial points. So all you need to do to obtain your beer tokens, again, email us at membership@dsfcenterprise.com. And we'll take care of that. Also, as I briefly mentioned, you could also use Sundial points for club shop purchases, where essentially they equate to a discount on whatever you're ordering. And we're also, this is another thing we're looking at the moment with the board, we're looking at other ways our supporters can earn Sundial points. And again, in terms of what the Sundial points are, it's just our way of recognizing that our supporters, well, support, loyalty, etc. And it's just a small way of us sort of showing thanks and giving a little something back. But again, in terms of how you can earn the Sundial points, you know, I've already mentioned you could earn Sundial points through becoming a member, attending matches. So for example, tomorrow, as we mentioned, Wednesday evening, there's a pre-season friendly. So any members who are attending on the day, Sundial points. We give Sundial points for sort of the most engaged members on our social media channels. And as I said, we are looking at further opportunities for our supporters, our members to earn Sundial point, which they could then use, as I've already said.
So obviously we've got the exclusive offer dropping tomorrow and pre-season, as you've just mentioned. Obviously the first game is tomorrow night against Tongham. How excited are you for that, Andreas? And are you hoping for a good game tomorrow? Should people get down and watch?
Absolutely, yeah. I mentioned earlier, you know, I encourage all our supporters, all our fans, members to get as involved as possible with the club. You know, if they can get down to watch the game, it'd be brilliant. You know, it's nice to actually meet some of these people that we've been communicating with the last few weeks, you know, the last few months I've been in my role within the club. It's nice to put sort of faces to names, get to see the squad, you know, get to see the boys in action before the season begins. You know, we're very excited. You know, I've already mentioned that I've, you know, no pressure on them or anything, but I've already spoken about the, you know, there's high expectations, you know, in terms of what we want the club to achieve this season. It'd be great to see them finally get on the pitch and showing us what they've got.
And that is it. Thank you so much for your time, Andreas. Me and Chris both appreciate it, as do all the fans of Dial Square. Obviously, you can listen to us on all the usual platforms that we're available on and follow us on social media at Dialcast.
Brilliant. Thank you for having me, guys.